Hi, everybody. Welcome to our morning Devo. Today's passage, we're continuing 1 Samuel chapter 10. Yesterday, we read verses 1 through 16. Today, we're going to read the rest of the chapter from verse 17 to the end. So this is, again, 1 Samuel chapter 10, starting from verse 17. Now Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and he said to the people of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, and from the hand of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you have rejected your God, who saves you from all your calamities and your distresses, and you have said to him, 'Set a king over us.' Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was taken by lot. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, "Is there a man still to come?" And the Lord said, "Behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage." Then they ran and took him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him, whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Then Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book and laid it up before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah, and with him went men of valor whose hearts God had touched. But some worthless fellows said, "How can this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no present, but he held his peace. As I was reading over this passage, this one question came to mind. Who is really in charge here? Who is really in charge here? In this passage, it's coronation day. Samuel gathers all of Israel together to publicly crown the new king. After going through this process of drawing lots, they land on the one whom the Lord has chosen, Saul, the son of Kish from the clan of the Matrites in the tribe of Benjamin. It's clearly a big day. But again, as I read this passage, I can't help but think about who is really in charge here. As God very clearly states before proclaiming Saul as king, it was God who had brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered them from all the kingdoms that were oppressing them. It is God who saves from all calamities and distresses. And now here, it is God who is appointing the king. And so it's not Samuel who is in charge, nor is it Saul, the newly crowned king. Though these men were leaders in Israel since the beginning, it was God who was in charge. God was and is the one in control through it all. Now, this might sound obvious to you and me, but the problem is that the people of Israel missed that point entirely. You see, I don't think the fact that Israel wanted a king was the problem. You might remember from a couple chapters ago that Samuel has this conversation with the other elders of Israel who desire a king. And, you know, they go back and forth, and God talks about how the people have rejected him. And when he says that, again, I don't think the fact that Israel wanted a king was the problem. The act of setting up a monarchy wasn't the issue here. After all, it's not like Israel had never had a leader before. Think about Moses or all of the judges or even Samuel. Having a human leader wasn't the problem. The problem was that the people did not recognize God as the one who was in charge. See, all up until this point, again, Moses and all of the judges and Samuel, all of these leaders, and people knew that these were not just men who were leading them, but that God was working in and through them to lead the people. But by seeking a king, they were no longer recognizing God as the one in charge. In fact, they were actively rejecting God, actively declaring that they did not want him to be in charge any longer. For whatever reason, they wanted a human king. A human king to take on that role of leading them into battle, of saving them from their enemies. They wanted a human king to do all of that, not God. I say all of this to say that as obvious as it might be for us to read this and see God as the one in charge, as obvious as it might sound for me to say this, this can actually often be a temptation for us as well. We can sometimes be tempted to place too much trust or value or weight in man-made systems, positions, or leaders, or really in the end, ourselves. For example, I've noticed this recently in the last few presidential elections. I've noticed that some people will hang on to the outcomes of these elections as if their whole life depended on it. And depending on the result, they'll just rejoice as if it's the best day of their lives, or if it doesn't turn out the way that they'd like, people are feeling so extremely defeated. And this is not to say that you're not allowed to be excited or upset, but for some at least, it seems like it's in the extremes. And by the way, when I say this, I'm referring to both parties, not just one or the other. And so I see this, where people place their trust, their weight in this situation, a particular party or leader. And you can even see this kind of thing even in the church. Some people pledge their allegiance to a single pastor or leader, or they choose to join in something depending on who else is part of it or leading it, and choose to step back when it's not the way or person that they'd like to be with. Or maybe it's not an individual, but they'll place their trust heavily in a system or a plan. Leaders and governments and systems are not bad or wrong. This is not a call to get rid of all of these things and live some kind of libertarian lifestyle where there's absolutely no structure and you just kind of live however you like. What I'm saying is that you must always remember who's really in charge. Even the best leaders are fallible. Even the best laid plans and systems will fall apart at some point. But God never fails. He is always in charge and always in control. And so knowing this, my hope is that we will always turn to our God. Our God who, as he says in this passage, saves us from all calamities and distresses. Yes, God certainly uses leaders. He uses governments and systems and plans. But the bottom line is that we must place our trust in God and God alone. We can't get lost in the weeds and lose sight of who's really in charge. But instead of placing our trust in these other things, or again, even ourselves, we must put our trust in God and God alone. And, you know, we see what happens. We see what happens in the life of Saul and what we'll read upcoming. That this king that the people had longed for isn't exactly who they hoped he would be. But so again, the other things will disappoint us, let us down. But let's put our trust in the one who will not fail us, our God. So let me pray for us to close us out. Lord, we confess that there are moments even, sometimes even entire seasons, where we lose sight of this reality that you are the one who is really in charge. We place our trust in people, whether they are people that we just look up to and respect, or people in positions of leadership. We put our trust in governments and systems and policies and ideas. And Lord, it's not to say that these things are wrong, but we forget that you are the one who is in control. You are the one who is in charge. You are the one who placed these people in their positions and brought these systems to be. Lord, we confess that we're very prone to doing this. Help us today and each day to place our trust in you. Help us to remember, or if we've never experienced this, help us to know that you're the one who responds to all of our distresses, who saves us from our calamities. It's not these other people, even if you do use them, and even if you do place them in these situations. It's not simply these ideas or systems, but it's you, God. And so, Lord, today, whatever lies ahead of us, whatever we're going through in this season, may we place our trust, our hope in you, Lord. And so, God, we thank you. We lay all these things down at your feet. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.